We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the home of the Greg Hill Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a radio.com sports station. NFL Sunday on EEI is presented by
Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
Co-sponsored by the New England Recovery Center. Leave the path of addiction and get on the road to recovery. Visit NewEnglandRecoveryCenter.org for more information.
Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros.
And Zooty. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details.
NFL Sunday is brought to you by FindMassMoney.com.
This is NFL Sunday with Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier, and Jermaine Wiggins. Now broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, here's Rich Keefe with Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins.
Gary Tagway hanging in for Keefe today. I got my big brothers with me, Jay Wiggs, Christian Fourier. I'm just along for the ride. Tommy Curran joins us right now. From NBC Sports Boston. He's usually on TV whenever there's a game Sunday at 1. He'll be on tomorrow night at NBC Sports Boston as the Patriots get ready for Monday Night Football against the Buffalo Bills. Okay, Tommy, first up, ESPN's reporting that Cam Newton's going to start. So why would I want to watch tomorrow night's game?
Well, because you're a football fan. You like sports, don't you? Hi, Gary. How are you?
I'd rather rewatch the Kansas City game, to be honest with you. I mean, I would rather watch an NCAA hoop game. I don't need to see Cam Newton anymore.
Oh, you can find some NCAA basketball.
Yeah, you can find some NBA basketball.
You can find some. Yeah, I mean, everything that Cam has said this week in terms of, you know, preparing to start seemed to indicate that that will be the case. And whether or not Stidham comes in later in the game, we'll see. I mean, that's really the situation the Patriots are going to be staring at this year and next, and until they return to wherever they're headed, is convincing the fan who is used to a certain level of play to tune in to watch the process, to watch the product. I'll watch it because it's my job. I'm sure there's a lot of people who will watch it because they enjoy it, and there's going to be a segment of people who say, why would I watch that game? It's not interesting to me.
Yeah, you know what? But there is this – I feel like we have this debate every week about Cam. I am to the point now, like, what are we doing? not to just kind of –
100%.
What are we doing? And I asked the question, what is it about Stidham? Like, you've written, you know, a couple articles about this, and we've talked about it plenty of times. But, man, if it's got to be more evident than anything that he sucks. He must be terrible. He must be god-awful.
The bizarre thing about it, Christian, is we can all watch it and see that when it comes to throwing the ball, he's fine. He's more than fine. He's pretty good. So what is it about his, whether it be practice, demeanor, or decision-making? Because, you know, as Bill has said, and Phil Perry did a great job going back all the way to 2009, to a Jason Cole story that Bill gave Jason a ton of time for. And he basically said the most important thing is decision-making and accuracy. Now he's changed it a little bit to decision-making and anticipation. I don't know if that's a byproduct of the way offenses have changed, but decision-making matters. Jarrett Stidham has or it's the foremost thing. Jarrett Stidham's interception ratio is 9.3%. I know it's a small sample size, and I know that there was a pick to Edelman on a screen that Edelman didn't think he was coming to him. He came to him and zing, it's a pick six, but 9.3. So is the decision-making that dunderheaded that Belichick says, I can't reward that and put that on the field when he throws it away to the wrong team all the time? I don't know, but when it comes to simply throwing Wiggy,
mm-hmm.
You can get more from a developing N'Keal Harry in terms of a look at him with Stidham out there than you ever will get with Newton.
Right. Let me just add this real quick, Wiggy, before you go, sure. Because you know, because we had this whole thing about is it pride? Is he being stubborn? Do they have some sort of deal? I would say that Bill is doing a disservice to camp by keeping him out there, because all he does is allow Cam to confirm that every other team that waited those 86 nights because they didn't want to sign him were right. So he's actually hurting his chances for another job somewhere else.
Probably that's on purpose, maybe.
But I also look at Tom, and we've, you know, like you said, we've had this discussion a million times and a million times over. It's more about who Bill feels like gives him the best chance to win. And what's that say to me when you can't get on the football field? Like, if you're a tight end in that room, and I only bring up the position because that's another position that has struggled. If you're a tight end in that room, whether you're a rookie or a veteran, whoever you are, if you can't get on the field and you can't contribute, then that tells me that Bill must think you're not very good. Because if he did feel like you could do anything, you'd be on the field. And I think maybe that's the case with Stidham. And he said that to us before, that Cam gives him the best chance of winning. So I don't understand why all of a sudden we're looking at this situation like it's Chinese arithmetic and no one can figure it out, when he said he gives us the best chance of winning.
Only because the notion of winning has taken a little bit of a hit, because mm-hmm. winning is moot in terms of getting to the postseason. Before, yeah. You had to do everything you could.
But is now it moot in like, his mind? Bill's mind?
No.
So then
I think
it's not.
It is whatever he wants it to be. Guys, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, were you both on the team in 06?
No, I wasn't there in 06.
All right. So, I mean, it's moot in whatever he wants it to be. If he wants to make whatever priority it is, because the priorities can, I presume, be different depending upon what's best for the football team.
But
you
I
can
was,
always have that amorphous definition. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so you can kind of – I was there in 2000 when we were, like, we ended the season at 5-11. So, you know, I know people say 06 where the positioning to get in the playoffs was different. But when we were a losing team and he was still coaching, like, we're trying to win every game.
Yeah, and I could see that being the case, too, because you do have – these developing players who need to be have the culture instilled
right.
in them of we play to the bell or to the final whistle. But on the same sense, Dalton Keene and Devin Asiasi and N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers all need to be able to become proficient at the passing game, because that seems to be the way the NFL is heading, to throwing the ball a little bit.
All right.
So let's try and get better at that.
All right, let's bring me to the next question. Tom Curran joining us on the Harbor One Hotline here on WEEI. This is NFL Sunday. Look, Brady's chewing it up. Detroit stinks, I understand that. Gronk had a great game yesterday. Will the success of Brady and Gronk, especially in the postseason, and the Patriots' poor play this season be the demise of Bill?
The demise?
Yeah.
No, I think that it didn't help. And over the last 2 or 3 years, I think we've all covered it pretty exhaustively as to Bill didn't want to continue with a 40-plus-year-old quarterback, and Brady finally wearied of the vibe of, I really don't want you around anymore. So he went elsewhere. Bill got his way, but I think that the two are separate. Bill has built – I guess, Gary, it's a good question, because it's worth asking, but I think we also have to look at Belichick and not think as if the timer is now ticking on him. I think he's bought – a hell of a lot more goodwill and leeway, and I wrote about this today, than to look after 15 weeks and say, okay, you're in a rebuilding year, there was COVID, and accurate or not, you've complained about your salary cap constraints. So we're not going to grade you relative to what Brady's doing down there. even though it looks like crap, given that you didn't want him around, and he's playing ridiculous, you know, is one of the top 5 to 7 quarterbacks in the league. Be that as it may, this is not going to be your demise. It'll be the rebuild separate from what Brady does elsewhere, I think.
Wait, Christian, I just want to follow up real quick. When Brady left, and I think that we all said it was time to go, it was never going to work. Now, I think, can you look at it, and I understand what you're saying, Tom, can you look at it and say, this is where Bill made a mistake. Bill didn't adjust to Tom and Gronk because I understand Detroit stinks. And I understand that they've had some problems in Tampa. But with some receivers, Brady at 42 still looks pretty good. So I think it's fair to say that Bill misevaluated Tom Brady at 40 years old. I think we could say that, can't we?
Yeah, you could say
that. I
mean,
I think a lot of us have said it throughout the last few years, over and over and over again, that this is not a great idea. It's still a good player. And when people would say, but, you know, he's not developing with younger players and he's throwing the ball away too much and he's not mobile enough and he only threw 24 touchdown passes, I think that people were so used to Brady being at a particular level and had tired of what they deemed to be his attitude toward Bill and his resignation as to what the direction things were going, that they wanted to place more blame on Brady. Look, the bottom line is they didn't like the uncharted territory of being with a 40-plus-year-old quarterback. And Bill is always of a mind that I want to be young. I want to reboot. I don't want to be the 2011 Colts with Peyton Manning. I want to be always in a position where the next guy is ready to go. And Brady was preventing that. So Bill got his way, and Brady left. Yes, but he left after having the door held for him and Bill saying, please get out for a while. But it just went against Bill's philosophy, Gary, I guess is the upshot of it.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, there's no question it did. I mean, but I'm just, it's easy. It's a point of criticism. Mm-hmm. Christian, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's to me, the conversation is fascinating. It's just like all the different
layers. He never should have moved on.
Yeah, he shouldn't have. He shouldn't have. And Tom, we've talked about this. So we talk about the philosophy needing to change now. It really needed to change 3 years ago. It should have changed 3 years ago, and then you wouldn't be. You would have. He would have retired, played his last game. He would have been a guy. I can't even think about like a quarterback that actually finished their career because John Elway did it. Joe Montana didn't. Dan Marino did it. Like he really should have been that quarterback. Who else? Brett Favre didn't do it. Peyton Manning didn't do it. So I don't know. To me, it's obvious. He'll never admit it. You know, because of just, you know, where they're at and, you know, how he is and stuff like that. So, but I just think about this game on Monday, and mm-hmm. they haven't been in a position like this, I don't know, 20 years, I guess, right?
Since 2000.
So,
since 2000.
What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Because we always do this before every game. What are you looking to see?
Really, it's Keen, Asiasi, N'Keal Harry. Guys on the team that are further down, like I think Terrez Hall at linebacker is a good player. You know, that's a guy that I'm interested in seeing more of. Is Juwan Bentley going to be, if Dont'a Hightower doesn't come back, the inside linebacker brains of the defense going forward or not? Do you have to go to that spot in the draft? Who are your explosive pass rushers? Is Winovich still developing? It's really at that juncture to me. And I think one of the interesting subplots to it is, too, guys, the Patriots trailed the Bills by 5 full games. Oof. Patriots are 6-8. The Bills are 11-3. It's 5 full games. So when ESPN and the schedule makers put this together, they weren't sitting there thinking that the Patriots would be out of it by 5 games. They were probably thinking, all right, this will be a good game where Buffalo is still trying to topple New England because Bills are. No, this has gone exactly worst case scenario post Brady as it possibly could have for the Patriots. Again, I've said this before. They have a high floor. They're not going to bottom out at 3-13, but this is probably pretty close to the floor for them being a 6-win team.
Tom, one of the things, excuse me, that I found extremely interesting listening to you, and I think it was Fitzy on Dale and Keith, is because we played the audio of Belichick talking to Lou Maloney and kind of getting a little, you know, getting a little like snippy with him and not answering the question. But you made up a really good point where you were like, you know, his post game interviews, is that more of the monster that we created, or should it be more about us as media people? Because when he was doing this in the past, it was all good. But now all of a sudden we got issues with that. And I thought, like, and that's what I think when we sit here and we talk about Bill Belichick, and I say we praise him for controlling the locker room and not getting guys get out of hand when it comes to talking to the media or never giving us too much. But now as soon as things are going a little bit left, now we sit here and we criticize and rip them.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about this today. It's on NBCSportsBoston.com. Bill's snark level is at an all-time high. And the difference is now that in 2020, Bill doesn't have Sundays to get the last laugh and basically say STFU without having to say it, because his team takes care of the business. Whether it's post-Jamie Collins or post-Logan Mankins or, you know, 2018 when the team is struggling and then rips off five wins, including the regular season, and wins a Super Bowl. You know, always Bill could be a little curmudgeonly, and then by the time Sunday came, he could just say, see, I was right again. This year it's harder, and the funny thing is he's going to the same well, but these are pertinent questions that we're asking about which way the team's headed. So I don't know if the media has necessarily enabled or embraced Bill's ability to be just, you know, curmudgeonly, and that's the way he is, and we shrug, but there certainly is a segment of fans and people around the NFL who are like, well, why are you surprised that this is who he is? This is how he is. Well, yeah, but the questions are different because the situation's different.
Well,
and the situation does beg for a different level of introspection, Gary, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. I mean, when you're winning six Super Bowls, you're a likable curmudgeon. When you're losing, you're an arrogant dink. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's humanity. That's life. And I don't think the media has changed. I think the media is, and I think this is why the Boston media is the best in the country, because even you'll have Tom, and Tom has been perceived as, at various times, Tom, you've had a great relationship with Brady, or you've been in tight with the Patriots, or Mike Reitz was considered a guy that was a Belichick toady, right? I mean, these are all the perceptions you deal with. Mike Reitz has been asking legitimate questions. Tom Curran goes in there, and I know Tom's been tight with Belichick. You know, Tom goes in there and asks tough questions to Belichick and gets on the poop list again because the situation changes. I mean, it just does. When you're winning six Super Bowls, there's no reason to ask about the quarterback. I mean, that's just the way it
right.
is.
But I think your point.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because I think your point was, when I was listening to it, is you were asking the question, and you might have just been asking the question out loud, was, is it us? And when I say us, I mean that's just, like you said, it could be a combination of fans, media, or is it more of a reflection on us, or is it more of a reflection on him, you know, and just the way that we've kind of viewed him over 20 years?
Well, I think it's a reflection on him as a person, and I'll tell you, and we'll get Fourier in on this too, but I think it's a reflection on him. Because as a member of the media, you have to adjust to the situation. Tom Curran has to ask questions that are legitimate, which he's doing, okay? And so does a Mike Reitz, and so does a Lou Maloney. Bill has not adjusted, okay? We have adjusted to the situation. He has not, and he will take heat for that. Christian?
I know, but again, why that is who he is currently. I just don't think he gives a crap.
So he's going to take grief, and he's going to take grief, and then when they don't win, people are going to call for his head. I mean, that's just the way it is, and that's why I bring up the Brady question. And Tom gave, as always, a well-thought-out answer. Like, okay, logically, okay, but we are talking about sports, where logic does not come into play for fans. Even me, I'm not going to say I'm considering myself a logical person, but even me, I'm watching the Tampa game as a fan, and I'm going, why can't this be happening in Foxborough? You know, Brady's success is going to hurt Bill. Is it logical to Tom's point? No. But illogically, as a fan, it's going to have an impact. Because you sit there and you say, we thought this guy was too old. We thought Gronk was too old. Why didn't Bill draft Chris Godwin instead of Derek Rivers and get him some receivers? If Bill had been better at drafting receivers, Tom would have had the weapons and we could be Tampa. That is not a crazy statement.
But Tom, this is what I would say, and I don't know if you agree with me on this one, because Gary's been, he's been beating this drum. I feel like he's the only one on planet, let's get rid of Bill, you know.
I think it's inevitable.
But I don't.
I just think it's inevitable.
I don't think people are saying that. I don't know what you.
I know they're not. I'm the only one saying
right,
it
that's
because I think it's inevitable.
But I don't think that will ever. Even if he's having a bad year. I think we're not at the level of, you know, where there's a lot of people on planet. Let's get rid of Bill. Right, besides Gary.
Let me ask the logical one, and I say that I'm not being sarcastic. Let's ask Curran.
Okay.
All right. You have to rebuild through the draft. To me, this isn't the NBA where I can go get one player. Bill does not do well in the draft. So what evidence is there that Bill Belichick can rebuild this foundation through the draft? I don't think there is any. And I think eventually the Crafts are going to have to make a decision and pick a personnel guy from Kansas City or Tennessee or, you know, do what teams do. Do what teams have been doing to the Patriots. People go to the Patriots and they raid their closet. Now the Patriots are going to have to go to Kansas City and raid their closet. They're going to have to Seattle, raid their closet. They got to go to Miami and raid their closet. I mean, Flippin' Flores is doing a hell of a job, you know? I mean,
I think the conversation is going to be had, but I think you're really early to the table with your fork and knife.
You're sitting there
before the thing's even been put in the oven. The food isn't even in the oven, and you're sitting at the table. And I was like, why is he already at the table trying to eat?
Well, I just think it's inevitable. That's the thing.
It's inevitable, but I mean, I think that there is a rush to be to get to that conversation when Bill's answer to Christian, and I wrote this story and I went through all of it. Bill's answer to Christian, when Christian asked about excuses, really said, look, guys, this year doesn't matter. So relax. Talk to me maybe January of 2022. Then we'll see where we are. But this year doesn't matter. Yeah. So don't come for me now. And I'm sure that he's made that point to the Crafts as well. Look, you wanted Brady to stick around. You wanted us to make some salary cap sacrifices. You wanted to try and get after it. We did that. Now, the Crafts could in turn say, well, that didn't mean to screw up the last four drafts and bring in Nikhil Harry. And Bill, you know, at that point, would just say, but, you know, Bill is that way. He's going to have his party line and he's not going to take pushback. So that's the thing, is you can say, look, we had salary cap limitations, and you can't raise your hand and say, but those limitations were Antonio Brown, who you shouldn't have dabbled in anyway, and Brady gave you a million breaks on the salary cap over the last 20 years. How can you complain salary cap? You're not going to have a back and forth with him. So that's the points that you're making are good, but because Bill is who he is, you almost have to stand down and watch the train wreck happen, if it's indeed going to happen, or how he avoids it.
Yeah, Foyer, you got something before we let Tommy go?
No. I got this one. Hold on. The last time the Patriots played the Buffalo Bills, it came down to a Cam Newton fumble. Do you think that this is, any resemblance to that game where they keep it close, or do you think this is when it finally catches up to them and the Bills really just stomp one on them?
I think the Bills would love to put one on them right now. Just given the direction of the two teams. And I think that the Patriots are primed with 20 guys on the injury report is questionable, primed to be on the receiving end of that. So this could be a tough game for the Patriots to keep close in.
All right, Tommy.
So they do get stomped.
I feel a stomping.
Yeah, I feel
it. Okay, Cam Newton, better or worse? Do we change our opinion at all after this game with Cam Newton?
Basically, we've seen this movie for the last 15 weeks. He's very charismatic, but why am I watching him play quarterback?
Yeah, so that's a no, too.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Tommy.
See you guys. Take care.
Tom Curran, Harbor One Hotline, joining us here. And NFL Sunday is presented by Kaplansky Insurance.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Okay, here's what's going on. Pats are off today. They take on the Buffalo Bills tomorrow night. And Tommy Curran feels a stomping coming on. I think we all do as well. Cam Newton expected to start. Brady was on fire yesterday in the first half. He had four touchdowns. We'd love to throw this in Cam Newton's face. Cam has five all year. 47-7. And I'm saying look out for Tampa in the postseason. Celtics will tip off against the Pacers tonight at 8. Oh, I should mention, what a game by Miami last night. Crazy. We have to get to that. I think Brian Flores should be a Coach of the Year candidate. Huge Flores guy. Woj from ESPN says the Celtics and the Brooklyn Nets, two of the latest teams to discuss a James Harden trade. I'll be on with Wiggy later this week on the Greg Hill Show, and I'm sure we will get into that topic. All right, more coming up with Christian and with Jay Wiggs. Brady in Tampa. Patriots are on the outside looking in. Did Bill screw it up with Tom? That's coming up on WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameDay, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to more. NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
On second down, looking for Gronkowski. He hauled it in, and he's in for the touchdown. A Gronk spike after the score to open it up here in Detroit.
Man, that was fun to watch. I know Detroit's terrible.
Yeah, they look good. That offense looked good.
My God.
He's got so much talent, though.
He's got so much talent, which he never had here, which obviously he may be 42 years old, but Tom Brady, okay, if he has the weapons, obviously can still play quarterback. I think we know that. I think we knew that heading into yesterday's contest. You know, Christian Fourier is here along with Jay Wiggs, Tangway here in for Rich Keefe. 617-779-7937 is the phone number if you want to jump in. Guys, when I'm watching the game yesterday, of course, and being the fan, I'm saying, why couldn't this have happened here? Christian, I'll start with you. This is what I don't get. Throughout Tom Brady's career, Belichick gave him the tools needed. You saw in 2001, he was a game manager. He had a great defense that Bill inherited. He inherited a lot of good defensive players from the previous regime, and that helped Brady in 01. By the time Brady got to 04, he was starting to throw the ball a little bit. 07, Brady threw for 50 touchdowns. He brought in Randy Moss, okay? Then he got him Gronk. He got him Wes Welker. He tried to do it with Antonio Brown, but that was it. Bill Belichick gave up on Tom Brady because he stopped getting him weapons, Christian. That's the way I look at it.
I disagree.
People look at Godwin. Godwin was drafted 84th. He went with Derek Rivers, defensive end.
That's a different conversation.
Right.
I'm not going to listen to people say that Bill didn't go out and try and get Brady weapons, especially his last year here. He drafted a running back in the first round. He drafted a left tackle in the first round. He went out and he traded for and then he went out and drafted a wide receiver in the first round, first time he's ever done it. Then he went ahead and traded a number two pick for Mohamed Sanu. But before that, he signs Antonio Brown.
Right.
What bigger sign of a guy willing to put his ass on the line to give one of his favorite players all the tools that he needs by signing a problem child, a guy that was on the cusp every single day of doing something stupid that would make you embarrassed and your ownership embarrassed? He went ahead and did it because he knew he needed it. So at that point in time, you had Mohamed Sanu, you had Antonio Brown, you had N'Keal Harry, you had James White, you had Rex Burkhead,
right.
You had Sony Michel, you had a bunch of weapons. So then what happens? Well, Mohamed Sanu ends up having a great first game, but then he gets hurt and he's never the same. Then Antonio Brown lasts one game and then he's gone, and N'Keal Harry gets hurt. So and then on top of that, here's what else happened. Your offensive line that the year before helped you win a Super Bowl with that rookie running back, suddenly that offensive line that didn't spend one day in the training room, not one of them ever missed practice the year they won the Super Bowl against the Rams. The very next year, it's a turnstile. So to me, I think it's a little bit lazy, no disrespect, Gary, to kind of say that they didn't give him weapons, because every sign indicates that he gave him. Now, was he wrong? You want to have a debate that he guessed that he chose wrong? Sure. That he didn't get a tight end? Sure. He missed on a tight end. And that's why I think he has a grudge against Gronk. But weapons? Oh, no. He threw so many weapons at him at Brady's last year. It just, none of them stuck.
Yeah, and I, Christian, you couldn't have said it any better. If you say that he didn't get him any weapons, you're just being disingenuous, because if you start to go back and you look at what, like you said, everything that you said he did for Brady, and it's more about the weapons not panning out. That's a different conversation that we could have. But when you look at Tom Brady and you look at the success that he's having down there, it's great success. Now the question becomes, here's where I have the question for Belichick. Is you got all those weapons for Brady, why ain't you doing it for Cam Newton? And I wonder how much COVID affected that, right? If there was no COVID, does Bill trade for a guy? Does maybe Bill ultimately then...
What does COVID have to do with it?
Well, because I think the COVID season... Look, you know, affects bringing in free agents. You weren't able to see guys. Guys were free agents and weren't able to go anywhere.
I mean, other teams have done it, right? I mean, generally, Wiggy, we even said this. In situations where people are at a disadvantage, that's what Bill Belichick thrived. You have a COVID, Bill Belichick usually thrives in situations like that.
Answer me this question. Why doesn't Bill then address, if he addressed the wide receiver issues last year with the greatest quarterback of all time, why wouldn't he then do it this year with a guy who hadn't played in a year over a year or so?
Because I think that Bill thought Brady was coming back. He would have tried to address him then. He got caught with his pants down by having to go for Newton.
But then
he sees Newton and he looks at it as a rebuilding year. I mean, he had Christian jump in. Christian did.
But Brady left here in what, March? Right? Newton didn't get here till June.
Right.
So even if it's Stidham, why aren't you addressing the issue at the skill position?
That I don't have an answer for that. He deserves criticism.
What was the thing that was different this offseason versus last offseason? COVID. And I think Bill probably looked at it and goes, you know what? With all this stuff going on, I'm not going to be able to do the same things that I want to do. And maybe this is Tommy Curran said it's a COVID year. So Christian,
I'm not using COVID as an excuse. Nobody knew COVID was going to happen. No one knew this bad.
So why didn't he then address those issues?
Which one specifically?
The fact that he did not bring in any skill position players, whether it was for Stidham or even for Cam Newton. Once Brady was out the door, he still didn't address the issue of needing. He didn't trade for a wide receiver this year. He didn't bring one in free agency. He didn't bring an Antonio Brown type of guy in.
Well, they drafted two tight ends, and he would say, I drafted two tight ends.
Right.
Who was his first-round pick? Did he even have a first-round pick?
Yeah, his first-round pick this
year. Oh, it was Kyle Duggar. He drafts a versatile hybrid linebacker / strong safety.
Yep. Well, he traded out of that pick.
Yes. He traded
that's right.
He traded 27.
And to me, that is part of the philosophy change. If you really want to break it down, in my opinion, it goes back to the way you've been doing business for the last 20 years has worked because you always had a human eraser, and that was Brady.
Yep.
You pick wrong on a defensive lineman, Brady scores you 35 points instead of 24. You know, you pick wrong on a wide receiver, he makes Jacoby Myers his go-to guy. He adapts, he overcomes, he improvises, you know, and that's the benefit to the Patriots. Because if you had a subpar quarterback, he's not getting you out of those jams.
But even if you're calling Brady the human eraser, why is he adding to help the human eraser, right? He added at the position you talked about. He drafted,
to go from good to great.
He drafted a wide receiver in the first round when N'Keal.
Do you think if any of those guys got hurt, if Antonio Brown ends up staying, N'Keal Harry is not longer and doesn't get hurt and isn't, you know, required to be a number one so quick, Julian Edelman's still on your team, and your offensive line has a marginal injuries, not major ones, and they're 8-0, don't you think they're more of a threat in the playoffs? They still go to the championship, in my opinion.
Yeah, but we're having the debate on why he didn't add. If Tom Brady comes back here this season, do you think Bill then adds pieces to that offense? Because if Tom Brady was here, and if his receiving core was Julian Edelman, Jacoby Myers, Damaire Byrd, and N'Keal Harry going into week one of the season, which was for Cam Newton, would you feel good about that?
I think Cam Newton sucks.
No, I didn't ask that question.
So,
would you feel good about?
I'd feel better about where they're at now.
No, I'm not talking about. So you would feel good going into the season knowing that your best wide receiver is a 34-year-old Julian Edelman, a N'Keal Harry that we saw that we were all criticizing at the beginning of the year, an undrafted second-year player in Jacoby Myers, where kind of the jury was out on him, and Damaire Byrd, an undrafted guy that they got as a free agent.
Would I feel good about it? I mean, I wouldn't use that. I would still say they need to add more stuff.
Right. So
I know, so what? We said that last year in 2019.
No, but they did, though. See, that's the difference. They added more stuff in 2019. Why this offseason did they not add pieces at the skill position?
It's a great question.
I'll answer for you.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Okay, so skill position players, are we including tailbacks? No, we're not. We shouldn't include.
I'm including your wide receiver, your tight end.
Okay,
tight end.
Okay. I would say they already had Lacoste, who was your veteran. Wasn't great, but whatever. You already had Ryan Izzo, so you had a veteran and a 2-year, 3-year guy, and you drafted two tight ends, so you addressed the tight end position. Two specifically different players, and I would say, based on the tight end coaches that I talked in the league, Devin Asiasi was some of their number one tight end on their board.
Okay.
They didn't pick him for a specific reason. So I'd say you got value in the tight end pick.
Okay.
We'll see how he pans out. Wide receiver position? Listen, you got me. I don't know. Maybe. I have no idea. You would have thought they would have brought in, and I feel like they did. They brought in a lot of wide receivers, but they didn't like any of them.
But that's my point, though. Like, when you bring in Antonio Brown, you're like, all right, I see this. When you bring in a kid like, you know, when you bring in a Dez Bryant, like somebody off the scrap heap, you're kind of like, you know what, they're just throwing bodies. And Eric Decker, my thing was when Brady was here, they really addressed the issue with real bodies. Like you said, they gave up a second-round pick to get Mohamed Sanu. Granted, it didn't work out, but they still made a play at what they thought were real people. They did not do that this offseason, and that's the biggest question I'd love to have Belichick answers. Besides the tight end position, I'll give you that. Now, they drafted two kids in the third round, but even then, though, right, you're supposed to maybe go out and get a veteran free agent that you look like, all right, this kid can play, because we both thought Lacoste and Izzo couldn't do anything. So you addressed the issue somewhat, but you really didn't do what you did the year before Brady, and I'd ask the question, why was it when Brady walked up?
It seems to me, and I don't have the answers that you two do, but it seems to me that Bill kind of gave up. He said, it's a rebuilding year without Brady. I've got to start from scratch.
Throw COVID in there.
And I've got COVID, so you know what? It is what it is, and I'm not going to waste any of my bullets on it. And I can't argue with that one. I mean, I've been critical of him, but I'm not so sure I could argue with that one at all.
Okay.
But again, the question I still have, and I know what Chris was saying about getting some weapons, you know, I guess the criticism should be that he didn't do a good job because N'Keal Harry, I'm sorry. That guy, forget about it. And same thing with Sonny Michel. I mean, he's an average back. I just think right now that he gave up on Brady too quick, and he took Brady for granted. He took Brady and Gronk for granted. He said, it's my house, it's my rules, and that's the way it's going to be. And now he's paying the price. We're going to take some calls on this coming up. Christian Fortier is here. Jay Wiggs here. Gary Tagway in for Rich Keefe. NFL Sunday is presented by Kaplansky Insurance on WEEI.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keefe, Fortier, and Wiggs.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans. WEEI.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, this is NFL Sunday.
Ooh.
Makes me want to listen.
And that is that is a long-distance dedication climbing up the charts to Christian Fortier.
Listen from and pay Wiggy. Attention.
All right. Welcome back. It is NFL Sunday. Gary Tagway for Rich Keefe, along with Jay Wiggs and Christian Fortier. Coming up at the top of the hour, Wiggs brought up a great topic. Free agency versus the draft. What's the best way to rebuild? We're going to talk about that coming up just after the 11 o'clock hour. Let's get some calls from Bob in New Hampshire. Let's go to Bob first. Hey, Bob, you're up on WEEI.
Hey, good morning. I enjoy your show.
Thank you, Bob.
I was just, you know, I'm not really the biggest football guy, but, you know, with the holidays, visiting a couple of people, it's pretty obvious, even when you look at the Patriots this season, just compare them to some of the other teams. Even watching last night, the late night game last night, on every level, no matter what the Pats do, they just aren't even anywhere near what any of these other teams are. Never mind the Chiefs or some of the ones that are actually, you know, the favorite. The Patriots on every position seem to be, you know, at best this year, UNH type collegiate. They, even when they win, they don't look anything. You know, really kind of a drabby. They're not a whole lot of it. But you want entertainment. Watch some, like you say, last night's game, and it's just
well,
saying
we agree with that, Bob. No, we all agree, Bob. Thanks for the call. I would take the Wildcats and the points in the game against the Patriots. Scotty in Rhode Island. We love Sean, coach up there at UNH. Scott and Rhodey, you're on WEEI.
Hey there, guys. It's been so much fun watching Brady this year. I kind of have, team 1A and 1B. I'll always be a Pats fan. It's my team. But you know what? I'm rooting on Brady and the Bucks down there, Gronk. It's just so much fun to watch. It's like the only reason I've enjoyed football this year. It's just hard to watch the Pats. It's killing me. But my little saving grace is Brady. And the only other one thing I got to correct you, Gary, you keep saying he's 42. Brady's 43 in August, last August.
Well, thank you for correcting me. The fact police. Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it.
Well, I do agree with the first call of that personnel-wise. Because I think the issue that a lot of people have is when you look at the Patriots roster versus everybody else's roster, there's no, like, clear-cut, besides Stephon Gilmore, there's no, like, clear-cut Pro Bowler, especially on the offensive side.
You get the kicker, right? I mean, the punter?
No, but I mean, that's...
punter's your
long snapper.
But when you look at other teams, you go, oh, wow, that wide receiver, even if he's not a Pro Bowler, he's right there, or that tight end, or, you know, or they got this pass rusher. The Patriots just don't have that guy.
And not even close.
That's why a lot of people go, you know, like, that's like the first call. I mean, you put the tape on, it's like, well, damn, we don't even have a guy like that.
I mean, for it, Christian, it's hard to watch, isn't it?
No, that's my point to you. So I feel like tomorrow night is a mercy killing. I feel like it's that old, like, Larry Holmes fighting Mike Tyson or one of those old boxers who says, you know what, I can take it. And then you get in there, you're like, oh, my God, this guy punches hard. He doesn't get tired ever. And he wants to embarrass me. Like, the Buffalo Bills want to embarrass the Patriots. It's been years and years and years of domination, and you've always kind of just stuck it to us. Now we realize you're wounded. We realize that you're a little arrogant, and you still think you can get by. Well, we're going to prove a point. That's what Sean McDermott is doing. So, yeah, I think tomorrow night it's going to be so uncomfortable to watch. And if I didn't have to talk about it with you, Gary Tagway, on Tuesday, then talk to Bill about it, I wouldn't watch it.
I watch it. Because remember, Christian,
you're a glutton for punishment.
No,
you're
that's
tougher
not it.
Than us.
Remember,
is there a good NBA game on tomorrow night?
Remember, Christian, we root for the logo on the side of the helmet, not the name on the back of the jersey.
See, I think that's completely changed, though. I know that's the way we grow up.
That's the way I raise my kids, Gary.
Okay. Oh, boy. Well,
I raise my kids that way.
Wiggy household,
and I
man.
Raise them with a strong hand, too. If they don't love the logo and they love the name
be careful.
More than the logo. That's
true. Be careful, dude. Be careful. Seriously, though, I think that people root for players now because of fantasy. I mean, that's a whole other topic. But they don't root for teams, they root for players, especially in the NBA.
What happens, though, in this game, right? Patriots go out there, play Buffalo tough. Maybe it's a game that comes down to Christian, like you said, one of those games, it's a last-second field goal, or they're right in it. Do we not then look at this Patriots team and go, you know what? They got some dog in them.
Oh, no. Come on,
they don't have any dog.
Oh, you don't think they got the dog
well,
in them?
Well, I mean, I guess
a little bit of dog in them.
I guess, see, again, all these New England fans, they're all delusional. I've been a part of crappy teams. I've had my bags packed and my car running in the parking lot after Thanksgiving, knowing that we were done and we were over and it was just a matter of time. Let's just try to not to get hurt. And I've also been in the same situation where I've been in a contract year where I knew that the season was over and we weren't making the postseason. Hell, I'm just trying to get good tape. Right. I'm trying to let people know that I'm not a quitter and I'm going to show up. You can look for something like that. I'm just worried at how important is pride on that team? How important is it?
I don't think there's much because we saw it in the Miami game.
And what does that say about the Bills? If like last week the Bills played the Broncos and beat them 48-19.
Oh, the Bills are they're not calling off the dogs. McDermott is not calling off the dogs tomorrow.
I wouldn't.
But my point is, so if the Patriots play the Bills tough to a last second, win or even a loss, doesn't our view change a little bit, not only about Buffalo, but how we view the Patriots? And maybe they do got that dog in them. And heading into next year, you start to say, okay, how can we, build off of that dog?
You know what, Wiggs? Let's cross that bridge when we come to it, if we ever cross it or if we ever see it, because I don't think it's going to happen.
I think the Patriots are going to play the Bills tough.
All right, you're listening to NFL Sunday presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com. By Zudy. Build any app your company needs fast. Visit Zudy.com for details. By Northeast Electrical and by the New England Recovery Center of Westboro. Coming up with Jay Wiggs and Christian Fourier, I'm Gary Tangway. We are going to talk about how do you rebuild a team? Is it draft or is it free agency? And this is why I think the Pats are screwed. That's next.